Hello, and welcome to Ask the Mayor here on WBAA News. I'm your host, Emily Seiberg. This week, our guest on the show is West Lafayette Mayor John Dennis. Thanks so much for being with us, as always. And as you're listening, you can still keep emailing questions in for Mayor Dennis to ask. That's A-S-K at WBAA.org. Mayor, welcome to the show on a brisk April 1st.
Oh, it is out there, and I'm just kind of hoping it'd be closer to motorcycle weather, but not quite there yet.
I think you'll get there on Sunday. We're looking at a sunny, low 70s day this weekend.
Really?
Yeah. Don't you listen to our station? We announce the weather all day long.
I was going to say, who do you get your weather information from?
The National Weather Service.
All those guys. Well, come mm-hmm. on. We all know about those guys.
So before the show, we were chatting a little bit. I want to jump into this. You wanted to talk about a letter that you just sent out. So talk us through the background here. What's this letter about?
Well, I think that we're all unfortunately acutely aware of some acts of violence that have been perpetrated against our Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders. And it's horrible. The cases are increasing. The feeling of insecurity amongst our Asian Americans is just growing every day. And it's as a human being, I find it personally offensive. And as an elected official who takes an oath to provide for the safety and security of its citizens, I find it even more so to think that there are still people out there that are that ignorant, that racist, and that prone to violence is just affects me on several levels. So I crafted on our website, on our Facebook page, obviously. And if you'll give me the honor, I'd like to read it on the station, please.
Okay.
All righty. It's pretty simple. Moving forward with the essential human needs of inclusion and belonging for all people of all races, national origins, and ethnicities is critical to the peace of mind and feelings of safety and security for all of us. Offensive, inflammatory, and xenophobic rhetoric has put Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders at risk. Here in West Lafayette, we are proud of the diversity of our city and appreciate the contributions made by Asian Americans and Asian members of our community. We stand in sorrow and solidarity with our Asian and Asian American students and citizens who are facing an escalating series of racist attacks, including the horrific attack in Georgia in which 8 people were brutally murdered, 6 of whom were women of Asian descent. We condemn these acts and the racist rhetoric that fuels them. As we mourn those who were lost, we also affirm our commitment to becoming a deeply anti-racist city and working with allies for a more just society. I call upon every resident of West Lafayette to show your kindness and support to your Asian neighbors, friends, and local businesses while they are mourning and healing. Let's make our community safe and welcoming to everyone. Signed by me.
Okay. What conversations have you been, yes, how, what have you been, what conversations have you been having around this topic as mayor in the past couple of weeks as some of these national events have been unfolding?
Well, just earlier this week, I met with a small group of Asian women, and they were deeply concerned about some of the overt and subtle racist attacks that are going on here in our community. And it's not just recent. There have been subtle acts of racism and discrimination for quite some time. And unfortunately, this isn't just exclusive to our Asian population. It's pretty much prolific throughout our society. And some of it's malicious and deeply intended, and others is accidental and just based upon ignorance and lack of personal experience and exposure. And, you would think in these days where the world has never been smaller, that there would be an understanding of how hurtful some of this behavior can be. But yet it still proliferates. So, I'm just trying to do my small part as an elected official here in West Lafayette to provide some assurances and hopefully some comfort to those that are suffering and those that are maybe in pain or in fear about things that might be going on. Not just hopefully, not so much at a local level, but definitely at a national level. And let them know that as the mayor of West Lafayette, that I'm gonna do everything I can to make sure that they have the necessary feelings of comfort and support while they're in West Lafayette and Purdue.
Okay. So Let's shift to another overriding topic right now. Indiana Governor
Sure.
Eric Holcomb announced Indiana's statewide mask mandate will become an advisory next week, along with the lifting of other COVID restrictions. Local governments are permitted to enforce stricter restrictions. There's a mask mandate in West Lafayette. Your city council just renewed that last month. And last week, it sounded like you were maybe thinking West Lafayette would follow the governor's leave. But now the West Lafayette mandate sounds like it's going to remain intact for now. So kind of talk about what changed over the past week for you, your thought process about what needed to happen here.
Well, you have to look at the data. You have to look at the numbers and you have to look at the impact. You know, wearing a mask, I mean, you would think by now, you would realize that it's not that big of a deal, you know, and given some of the unsolicited guidance that I've received over the past several months, I don't know if it's the fact of the mask or it's the fact that they're being told by government to do something. I have not quite yet sorted that out. But we aren't out of the woods yet. And if you look at recent data, there is a slight incline in the number of cases. You know, people have a tendency to look at worst case scenarios and use a critical juncture to make a decision, a significant decision. And when you hear things like, well, the hospitals aren't being overrun yet, or the numbers aren't as high as they used to be yet, there's a subtle inference there that that's the potential outcome of the behavior that they're advocating. And I just feel very strongly that, you know, there's a lot of things that we can do now that we couldn't do before in the first blush of COVID, but there's still some things that we need to do to make sure that this doesn't get back to the point where we have to start shutting things down. Nobody wants to go back to the way it was in the early days of COVID. Nobody wants to see the body count get higher. And if the simple act of wearing a mask is offensive to somebody, I apologize. But I feel very strongly that we need to do the right things to make sure we can get this thing back to where it needs to be and have it become, you know, yet another focal.
So Purdue will be abiding by the Protect Purdue Pledge, which mandates masks until at least through this semester. I know part of the thought process behind the mandate as it's evolved was the, you know, the thought that Purdue and West Lafayette go hand in hand. You didn't want a dividing line between on campus and off campus. You know, when you're thinking about taking a look at it down the line, I know we're talking about data and numbers and being guided by that. When students have, you know, largely departed for the summer, you know, is that an opportunity to take another look at it if things have gotten a little calmer after that?
Well, we'll always be reviewing it. I mean, you know, it's just, I always find this somewhat absurd even to have these kind of conversations. We're talking about a public health emergency. Even if the numbers start to diminish significantly, the potential of reinvigorating that virus through irresponsible behavior will exist until we have, you know, a significant number of greater vaccinations and appropriate behaviors in place. So for me personally, it's my duty. We will continue to do everything within our power to ensure the safety, health, and well-being of our citizenry to the best of our ability. That requires me continuing with the mask mandate. I will do that. If that requires me putting some sizing or some whatever I'm empowered to do, I'll go ahead and take those measures. This is a very big deal. I know the counter argument to that, and I think that's one of the venues that the governor's utilizing with his relaxing of some of the restrictions is the economy. And I get that. I understand that. But what's that breaking point? I mean, do we say it's okay if some people get really sick, but as long as the economy's strong, or do we say, you know what, we'll go ahead and let the economy slow until we get to the point where we feel more comfortable with opening up everything? You know, it's a tough decision to make. And I know the governor, I know him personally. I know that he has given this a great deal of thought. He and I just are seeing it from a little bit different perspective.
I've been saying it feels like we're having some of the same conversations we had last summer in reverse.
Deja vu all over again.
It truly is.
Bizarro deja vu.
Well, and so per that, Lafayette will be following the governor's lead. So I guess, does that raise, you know, some of the same potential issues if we're, again, talking about dividing lines, you know, if West Lafayette has a mandate and Lafayette doesn't, granting that they are different cities?
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of people that look at us as one big city. You know, they don't, if they're not from here, they see Lafayette and West Lafayette as basically one great. I understand that. But we are going to do what we feel is the right thing to do. And that's why we're going to abide by my mask mandate. Should people come over here, you know, it's been in place for quite some time. We have issued, including today, zero tickets for violating the mask mandate. And the only reason being is because of two things. First off, there's a lot of peer pressure because of how easily transmitted the virus is. And we also give people an opportunity. We're not looking to write a bunch of tickets. We're looking to get compliance. And so if law enforcement or if our firefighters or if our citizens suggest, hey, put your mask on, it's the rules, people abide by it and they do it. You know, and I don't think that that's going to create a challenge between both sides of the river. Should citizens of West Lafayette, when they go to Lafayette to eat, to go to the bars, to visit their downtown, or to go shopping, they still have the option of wearing a mask, but they also have a second option of not. That's their personal choice. But when they come back on our side of the river, they had best have their mask on.
You are listening to Ask the Mayor here on WBAA News. I'm your host, Emily Seiberg, and right now we're talking with West Lafayette Mayor John Dennis. So we're going to change topics again here because we received many concerned listener emails about this next topic. So this is about the future of arts and cultural classes that have traditionally been offered by the city of West Lafayette. So I'm going to share one email that kind of touches on the issues raised by pretty much everyone who wrote in on this. And then I'll ask about some additional points that were made by others. So Sherry writes, I have yet to see a catalog of the many cultural classes and opportunities that have always been offered. Are these classes going to be offered? Will there be a catalog soon? If not, why would you eliminate such an important area that West Lafayette has always offered? And I'll add here, I did personally try to find some of these class offerings for the upcoming year. I couldn't locate any. I think the most recent brochure I found was from 2019. So, to Sherry's point, are these classes going to be offered? Will there be a catalog soon?
Well, I wish I would have had this in advance. I could have spoken to our park superintendent. There have not been any. The only challenge that we have right now is space. And so, you know, when we had the Morton Center, when it was the Morton Center before it was our Marjoram City Hall, we had available space that we could host a lot of those classes in. The other thing is that a lot of the people that host or that operate those classes, though, as a private vendor. And so what that means is that there's certain, they have a contractual agreement with the city, specifically the Parks Department. And then, you know, they basically pay rent for a space or something to that effect. And that's when the classes come through. We have not deliberately tried to deprive anybody of some of the great resources that we have here in the city. But we have been doing a lot of changes here. We've been moving around. We've got a lot of different locations. We've got a new facility on the north end of town that is specific to parks. And then we also have just recently moved into our new home here in the Morton or in the Marjoram Center. So there's a lot of things going on right now, a lot of moving parts. I can find out an answer and get back to you after the show real quick. But as it stands right now, you know, our intent is not to deprive anybody of some of the great services and some of the great opportunities that we've had through our park system. As I said before, a lot of that depends on the vendors and, you know, making sure that we've got the appropriate amount of space.
And I'm as a side issue, as I'm thinking about this, how did COVID affect some of the classes if they happened last year? You know, what was the impact there?
It wrecked it. Like it did everything else. It wrecked it. You know, COVID kind of came in sleepily. I mean, when we were first starting to find out some of the complications of COVID, We started having to make some changes in how we did business here in the city. Then also what came along was the moves. We moved out of the what I used to call the junior high school, but the middle school, the old middle school, and we moved here into Marjoram. And then also they opened up the facility on the north end of town. So there was just a lot of different things that came into play, and then throw COVID into the mix. When we have lockdowns and we are making sure that people are doing things that are healthy as opposed to things that they choose to do recreationally, I think that that puts a tamper on or damper on a lot of different things as well. So, across the board, COVID messed up everything. I mean, it is just a nasty, ugly, messy thing that causes us to have to challenge every aspect of our life, whether it's social, whether it's business, whether it's recreational. Everything is kind of in the mix right now. And until we get through this monster, it's hard to say what that next step is going to be. But everything has really been a challenge. I mean, even when you get down to some of the basic tenets of government, development, police, fire, all those different things that we do, and we do so well here in West Lafayette. A lot of changes have taken place, and probably will for quite some time. One thing that COVID has taught us is that, there's a lot of viral boogeymen out there, and each and every one of them seems to bring a little bit more threat than the prior one. So I think just being able to have the necessary agility to take the appropriate action quickly to keep things under control, I think is probably one of the new mantras that we're going to be hearing from a lot of local governments around the country and probably even around the world.
So, in terms of these classes, and you just touched on this a bit, I wanted to kind of raise this secondary issue. A different listener wrote in, after speaking with a member of the West Lafayette Parks Department and learning the administration intends to require creative arts teachers to become paid employees of the city, I am concerned this policy will harm the wide variety of programs that have historically been offered by the Parks Department. Another listener wrote in kind of with a plea for a teacher from whom she's taken watercolor classes for years. So again, just kind of curious. So the employment arrangement for the art teachers before was kind of on a contract basis. And so they will now be city employees.
A lot of what we do now has more restrictions to some degree, and then obviously some more lean or some more latitude on the part of the city to another degree. And with contract employees, a lot of times one of the challenges that we had was making sure that the necessities of the class met needs of the citizens. We basically would host these things. We weren't necessarily the sponsor. We would say, okay, you can, if you want to lease the building here, or a classroom here, go ahead and do so, and we'll just charge you this much in rent. Different kind of agreements like that. The city of West Lafayette, even though we do have a very strong and active community outreach program through our park system, a lot of that still requires the on the city's behalf. And then also when we contract somebody, there's a lot of different things that we would have to go through to make sure that it was going to be done appropriate and up to city standards. And so excuse me, transitioning kind of to a different model for that, there's going to be a lot of trial and error, but the intent is to not diminish the services. It's just to give them a little bit more. I use the term formality, but just to make it sort of more structured, so that we will be in a stronger position to do what the citizens prefer that we do.
So, for everyone who might be listening who wrote in, just to get a sense of a timeline, just since it sounds like people were wondering when they could expect class offerings or to just get further communication about what might be coming, what are we thinking? When should people expect to get more information about this?
Probably sometime this month. I think that we just started April. Spring is on the way. We're settling into our new homes, plural. We should be able to get something probably out this month that can provide a little bit more guidance.
Okay. How are things going at the West Lafayette Wellness Center, which opened at the end of January, speaking of a different large city project?
Yeah. I've been there almost every day because, as I've told you a million times before, my body is a rapid flowing river of liquid steel, right?
I have not heard you say that before. Duly noted.
Duly noted for future reference as it starts to rust. It's going very well. The classes are well attended. The facility itself is nothing short of amazing. I generally take advantage of the cardio equipment up on the second floor. And I get in there, you know, first thing in the morning around 6 o'clock. And it is very well utilized at that time of day. And it usually comes in groups because you have groups, you know, the pre-work groups, then you have the groups that basically get the kids off to school and come, you know, shortly after that. And then throughout the course of the day, a lot of the classes and some of the facilities are being utilized, like the pool, the walking track, and things like that. But it's just really neat to see. I mean, I've lived here forever, basically. And I remember when that whole north end of town was nothing more than a cornfield. The furthest north structure out there, and to see what it is today and see the wellness center out there, it's just nothing short of amazing. But having said that, you know, obviously there's plenty of opportunity for membership. It really is a great experience. The staff that's there, we have trainers on site that can go ahead and make sure that whatever it is that you want to do, you can do it right and not hurt yourself. I'm not a swimmer, but my wife does. She swims laps at the pool and she said it's amazing. So it's pretty cool. You know, I'd recommend everybody going out there and giving it a look.
How are memberships proceeding? How many people have opted into that? Do you know how that's going?
I don't know what the numbers are, but from what I'm being told by Parks, it's doing very well.
So I did want to ask about this because the Wellness Center, you know, posted about this on Facebook at the beginning of March. They wrote, as you can imagine, we placed a lot of time and thought into our COVID policy to keep our staff and our community safe during the pandemic. And I think, as a side note, you and I have talked about that before. Mm-hmm. Then they go on, after further discussion, advisement from the Tippecanoe County Department of Public Health and research from the CDC, we feel called to inform you of the elevated health risk involved associated with using a public wellness facility. When proper masking and social distancing are not practiced, everyone is placed at great risk of becoming infected, as stated in a recent Washington Post article. And then they link to that piece, which does go into some detail about how COVID spreads at gyms when people aren't masked when they're exercising, which is something the Wellness Center mm-hmm. requires. And they end with, yep. We ask you again, please mask up correctly at all times. We need your help to keep the Wellness Center open for our community. So have people not been wearing their masks consistently? I guess what's your understanding of that? How has that been an issue? And has it gotten better?
Yeah, no. There was, like I said, I'm there a lot. And, you know, I'm pretty supportive of people wearing masks a lot too, obviously. And I have not experienced that. There are some people who have medical issues when it comes to doing cardio. And such, and we will permit that as long as they can get the appropriate amount of social distancing. The other thing is that the hygiene on all the equipment is incredible. Our training staff, and the operational staff that are there at the facility, wipe down the machines, wipe down the equipment all the time, as do the users, which is really nice to see. They are making sure that things are kept to a very high hygiene standard. But I have not encountered, I've made some suggestions when people have their mask, you know, on their chin and say, pull it up because it's got to cover your intake valves as well. People comply. I mean, and there's signs everywhere so people understand. And, you know, again, we are into this thing for quite some time. We've been doing this for a while. If anybody acts as though they don't know, exercising and also when they're outside in the city, that's probably based on deliberate indifference instead of just being unaware.
So we've talked on the show even today about the new City Hall workspace. We've also talked about the future of remote work. What are the city's plans right now for bringing people back into the office and just starting to think about some of the shifts back towards pre-COVID operations across the board whenever that becomes possible?
Yeah, well, we are filling the house pretty well here at City Hall at the Marjoram Center. You know, a lot of folks really wanted to come back. Working from home is kind of cool until it's not. And then you want to get back into that social environment. So we're pretty well staffed here at the building. I've allowed for those who have health conditions. We have some folks that are very sensitive to the mask and very sensitive, and then their immune system isn't great. They're empowered to go ahead and continue to work from home. And also are others. We've realized now that, working from home, it used to be kind of a far-fetched idea. That's where we built all these incredible structures. But now we're realizing that, with all the burdens and with the different things that young families have, sometimes working from home, is best for their own healthy lifestyle and environment. So we aren't too restrictive about that. The other side of it is, though, that we need to make sure that we have the appropriate staffing here to deal with our citizens. But overall, I mean, things are working out very well. And the good thing is that when this building was designed, it was designed with an open floor plan. So the downstairs, the first floor, is basically the citizen area where we have the meeting spaces and some folks that can, provide the necessary instruction about where they need to go, or they could call somebody upstairs to have them come down and have a conversation with them. But upstairs is sort of the administrative area for city staff. And that's sort of an open floor plan. So coincidentally, that works out very well with the existing COVID situation. And of course, we have basically littered plexiglass everywhere. Each space has some barriers now, which wasn't in the original design, and they are temporary, so they're going to come down as soon as we get the green light to get back to normal.
Okay. So how did our little corner of March Madness go? What's the progress report on how that all ended up unfolding here in West Lafayette?
I in talking with our police and fire departments, I did not get a whole lot of negativity. I mean, there obviously were certain pockets of the community where people acted appropriately for their age group, but really, nothing that was out of line. We're pretty used to having these kind of things happen. We have a pretty good football team that attracts a lot of people during the season. So, for our police department and fire department and the folks that help with that, well equipped to handle it. The neat thing was, though, is we got a lot of free masks. So
Yes.
I'm teasing. That wasn't the neat thing.
So
But it
you.
was, no, I mean, I think there was a lot of coordination between us, Purdue, City of Lafayette, Tippecanoe County, and the state police. Everybody, again, they had the necessary guidance on what to do insofar as protecting themselves and others against COVID. And it seemed to go very well.
Have you gotten any feedback on impacts to local businesses, either around
No,
the time of the
not yet.
tournament or even just as things are continuing to unfold? Are people going out more to watch the game at a bar, things like that?
I haven't heard, and I don't want to sound like I'm not in touch with the business community, but I think that there is so much. Everybody's dealing with change on a pretty regular basis, and I think that one thing that a lot of change creates is an awareness that there's a lot of change to come. So I think we're all just keeping our fingers crossed and hoping for the best for businesses as well as for our citizens.
That's our time for today. Mayor Dennis, thanks for being with us. You can
Thanks
find
for
this
having me.
program at our website, WBAA.org, along with an archive of our shows with the mayors of Lafayette, West Lafayette, Crawfordsville, and Frankfort. Send us your questions to ask@WBAA.org. Thanks for listening, and have a great rest of the day.